Greet you all in Jesus' name. It's been an enjoyable day here, worshiping with all of you at Ridgeview. The last couple of days meeting some of you as well. And as I was mentioned, we are from Kirkwood, and if you get to southern Lancaster County at any point in time, feel free to stop by and visit us there. I also want to thank you as a congregation for being very warm and open, welcoming. I appreciate that when I go to other congregations and just feel that openness and welcoming to visitors. Appreciate that. Encourage you to keep that, keep on doing that, keep on serving the Lord here. My title for this evening's message, which many of you may have seen already, is Can I Afford It? When I was asked to, well, I guess I should start out saying I was on the rotation to come out here on a Sunday morning. I got, that usually comes out in about December of the year before the rotation schedule starts, and I saw that I had to come to Ridgeview. And I was excited. I was very happy to come to Ridgeview, and as many of you know, I have some history here. Spent about 12 years of my life from about age 1 to age 13 out here in Missouri, and have a lot of fond memories, and I like to come back, and although it's sad because things change, but it's just good to come back. It feels like home. It's my childhood home in a way, and so I love to come back and see you all here. So I was on the rotation, and Brother Curvin asked me if I'd be willing to come on a second Sunday night and preach in the evening as well, and I said we probably can make that work. And he pretty much left it open to me what I want to talk about, and this is a subject that is a burden on my heart. And that is, can I afford it? And it's about personal finances, it's about giving, it's about brotherhood, working together. It's a burden that I have that we continue to support the works of the church in our giving and in our time. I know very little about yous here in this congregation and your financial position, as it were. And you probably know very little about me as well. But it's something that, as I've visited around churches, I think it's something that we continue to need to talk about, we need to preach about. I feel that maybe we as a conservative Mennonites have not talked as much about it as maybe we should have. It's something that we're very, well, it's a very personal thing, and so therefore we don't always talk about it as openly as I feel we should. This also came out of a recent experience of mine. We just purchased a new house that not that long ago. And the question came up is, can I afford it? And as you look around us in society, the advertisements are driven to make you want things, to make you desire things. And then oftentimes people ask themselves, well, can I really afford this? You see the advertisements like this. It's 0% for 6 months, no money down. Bad credit, no problem, 100% approval. 72 easy payments of only $455 a month. The question may be raised is, how much more is left on my line of credit? What will the payments be? Can I afford this new car? How much house can I afford? There's mortgage calculators. There's vehicle payment calculators. Do I have the cash in my wallet? Can I afford to give in the school offering or brotherhood assistance offering or general fund? Can I give to support the school? Can I meet the amount that is put out there for the conference-wide needs? And I think it's thoughts that we need to think seriously about here this evening. Can we afford those different things? But in order to know if we can actually afford it, if we actually want to talk about that, we need to understand what God thinks about this. You see, the Bible has lots to say on how a man handles his money and his possessions. The Lord is not silent on it, and that's one thing I'm very thankful for this evening, that he has a lot to say about it. There's many verses in the Bible, and I don't have that off the top of my head or in my notes of how many verses, but it's an astounding amount of verses that are in the Bible that talk about our possessions. We see that it's something that was near Jesus' heart as well, is because he knows that it's close to our heart. It's a very personal thing. And how we handle our money and our possessions shows a lot about how we feel about God, how we feel about others, and how we feel about the brotherhood. The first point we need to realize is that everything we have is God's. We are just called to be stewards of what he has given to us. In Psalms 24:1 it says, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein." We need to start on this principle when we talk about our possessions. We must remember that all we have is God's. The bigger question is, are we using them as Jesus taught? Because God is the giver of all these things, and we are just the stewards, and he puts a lot of responsibility on us of how we're going to handle that. We should always be desiring to learn more on how we should handle our possessions. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. This is a parable that Jesus taught here, and there's a lot can be learned from this very simple parable. You see, Jesus has given us all talents, as it were, or possessions, or money. And I don't care where you are here tonight. I don't care if you're here this evening, and I know each of you good enough that when you look at the world, we are some of the richest people here tonight. And let's never forget that. You may be the person making the least amount of money here tonight, but in the spectrum of the world, we are in the top. I think that said we're in the top 2% of the world around us. Many people live on much less. And so tonight, we are rich and we do have talents, as it speaks about in this parable here. And so I think we need to realize how we're going to use them. Starting Matthew 25, verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same, and made them other five talents. And likewise he had received two, he also gained another one. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that hath received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained besides them five talents more. This Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that hath received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I was not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received thine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from me and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outward darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We'll cease reading there. I also did want to mention in the opening that I tremble a little bit to share this message this evening, just because I know that there's every person here this evening probably has a slightly different viewpoint on money and possessions. Some is because of the way you were raised, the way we've grown up, the culture in which we live. And we've all kind of come to maybe somewhat of a little different look at possessions. But I want to look at what the Bible has to say here this evening. And I feel that I hope we can, if we don't agree on everything, I trust that we can still agree on some of the foundational principles here this evening. And if you believe differently than I do. I'm not going to be angry or mad at you in any way. It's just some of the things that I've learned over time that I've come to appreciate, that I feel some practical ways that we are called to use our possessions. So here the story tells us of this man, who a master, who gave each of his servants these differing amount of talents. And as I said before this evening, I believe we are among those who have received the five talents tonight. We have been given a lot. And what are we going to do with what we have been given? We see that the steward, the way that some of the stewards handled it pleased the master, and some of the way the one handled it was unpleasing to the master. He was not happy when he came back. He was not happy with that steward because he only had one talent. It's because that he did not do anything with that talent that was given to him. It wasn't in a matter of how many they had, but in what they were doing with it. And again, here this evening, we all have differing amount of possessions or money, but what we use them for is what is most important. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil. We are going to be judged individually for what we do with what the Lord has given to us. Our goals must be different from those around us in society. Our goal in life is not to get as much as we can and enjoy life. The question many ask is, can I buy this and not hinder my future plans, my retirement plans, when I want to sit back and take it easy? Can I buy this house, this car, and still be able to do that? That's not what we as Christians should be doing. Can I enjoy today and still be financially secure in the future? We Christians should look at it as, what do I need to do to be able to give more to the work of the Lord? What does the Lord want me to do with what he has given to us? So as we looked at the first point already, is that what we have is God's, it's not ours. And I think we all understand that concept. But what does the Lord want us to, how does the Lord want us to use his money? In Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. First of all, I believe the Lord asks us to be content with what he has given to us. It's a very important concept that will go a long way in life if we have contentment. He gives to all of us differing amounts. But let's not look over at the brother that's sitting beside us who the Lord has given five talents and he's only given us two. Contentment brings happiness, or is happiness. I think we all know some people who we would say are very rich. They have a lot, but when we see that the amount of things is not what brings happiness. It's the satisfaction with what you have and the contentment that is what really brings happiness. I used to work with some Mexicans back in Pennsylvania a number of years back that, you know, they were some of the happiest people I had worked with. We had worked on landscape crew together, did a lot of mulching together, and they were happy, and they were just glad to be at work. They showed up promptly, worked hard, you know, but they were happy because they were in the States. They were making what they thought was good money. At the time, though, they were probably actually only making about half of what I was. But you see, it was not in the amount of things, but it was in their view of what they were getting and what they had. They were very jovial people to work with. And it struck me time and again. I was like, it's not on the amount of things that one has that brings happiness, but on your view of what you have. It's just an illustration to show that there's a lot about perspective and about choice. We must choose to be content and happy with what we have. It's an everyday choice that we continue to need to make. The media and advertisement is designed and geared to make you discontent. They're geared to make you unhappy with what you have because they want to sell you something else. And they will portray their product, their service, as something that if you just buy into this, you will be happy. Ever drive down the road and see a picture of, it can be anything. It can be anything from an air conditioning service to Cabela's, on and on. And it will show a happy family together. We all know that if you go and get your a new air conditioning put in, it's not going to make you that much happier. If you weren't happy before, you won't be happy now. They're driven to feed discontentment because how they sell things. But we need to daily be content with what we have. If we're not happy today, more money will not bring us happiness. Secondly, I think we're called to be intentional about our talents or our money that the Lord has given to us. Proverbs 27, 23, and 24. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. In Colossians 3, 17, whatsoever you do, do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The first verse is there in Proverbs is saying to look diligently after what he has given to you. It speaks of flocks and herds. I believe we should be intentional about the possessions we have. Not to be sloppy, not to be careless, to know where our money is going. You see here, the Lord was very unhappy with this one servant who just buried his talent, and it seemed like he didn't worry about it. He turned his head the other way, or he buried his head in the sand, as it were, and didn't do anything with it. He ignored it, and the master was very unhappy with that. And I think the Lord is not well pleased with us if we just ignore the possessions he's given to us or sloppy with them. He was not willing to do the work that was needed. Sometimes I find that we're very much the same way. We don't look at what we have. We're not careful with it. And in so, we are not being a good steward of what the Lord gives to us. A good steward would do the work it takes to make sure his talents are being used in the way the master would have them to be used. And you can say, how does this work out practically? And I believe that in order to do this, we should know our cost or know where your money is going. Simply tracking your income and expense. It can be very simple. It can be on a sheet of paper. I don't care so much how you do it, but have a plan and stick to that plan. Because it helps to give guidelines on what we can afford. There's a lot of ways that these things, a budget or some kind of a spending plan can be done. My wife and I have used a budget for almost 3 years, and we found that there's a lot of satisfaction in doing it, a lot of freedom in just knowing that things will be taken care of or knowing where your money is going. You're able to give more. You can see where your expenses are at. And we started out on just a simple piece of paper. Right at the top of the paper, the money that came in from my checks throughout the month, and you write each thing down as you go throughout the month. You just track where it's going, and you can see. It's very important. As we all know, it's simple math. More needs to come in than goes out, or else you will have a problem, or the same amount at least. There's a lot of, if you're more of a techie person, there's a lot of apps that make this very easy. We've used that for a long time as well. So it doesn't matter so much if it's a large spreadsheet, a simple piece of paper, an app, or an envelope that you use cash in. There's lots of different ways, but make sure you know where your finances are going. Make sure you know, are you being a good steward of that money that the Lord has given to you? I find by tracking where it goes, it makes you a very much more of a careful spender. If you aren't watching it, you can so quickly come into impulse buying. You go into the store and just, if the cash is in your wallet, you spend it. But if you track it, it makes you think twice before you just go out and make an unwise purchase. No, it will not cure all problems, but it does, I feel, give guidance and direction to where you're spending your money. Make sure you keep it simple and easy. Because if it's not easy, you will eventually lose heart. A budget should not be some tight restriction, but more of something that helps you stay aware of what is happening. A budget is not just for something for somebody who is financially irresponsible. And as I've learned to know people and learned to know some older people, I found out that it doesn't matter if you were poor or rich. There are people who use budgets on all levels, and it's not a disgrace this evening to have some type of a budget or some type of plan. There's people on all spectrums that use it. Keep it simple and find what works for you. The third thing of how we should use our money is a warning, and that is to be careful about debt, especially consumer debt. Our society has made consumer debt very easy to do. People get into consumer debt very quickly. And consumer debt is, as I would say, view it, is something, is debt on things that are going down in value, not something that is appreciating. There's a lot of student loan debt this evening. There's a lot of vehicle debt. Credit card debt is a very common one. The Bible never says that debt is a sin, but it often talks very negatively about debt. In Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Proverbs 37:21, "The wicked borroweth and pay not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." It's very easy to borrow money nowadays, but never forget that if you borrow from somebody, you will need to repay. At some point in time, it comes very easy to borrow money. It's a lot harder to pay back. So be careful not to put things that you, if you cannot afford it, or if you don't have the cash for it, to put it on a credit card is a very dangerous thing to do. There's a lot of people who get caught into that trap, and it's a very vicious cycle. As I said before, I don't view it as a sin, but just a caution around us that much of society falls into. A good rule of thumb in my mind is can I afford it? If it's not for something that's going up in value, such as property or starting a business, and you don't have the money for it, I would very much warn against borrowing money to do that. Also, going deeply into debt, even if it is for things that are going up in value, such as property or businesses, can put a lot of strain and stress on us as men, and also on our marriages. There can be a lot of them. There's a lot of just negativities that go along with that. Fourthly, on how we should be handling our money, is to save for the unexpected. There's a saying that goes something like this: the only thing you can expect is that there will be the unexpected. And try to put a little distance between you and the financial emergencies. Have a saving account set aside for the emergencies, because these things will happen. There's a statistic that tells us that on average, a household will have a large unplanned expense about every 7 years. And this includes unexpected hospital stays, vehicle accidents, house fires, job loss, and the list goes on. These things happen, and although we should not worry about them, it is good to keep in mind that they could happen to us someday. It will not always just be somebody else's problem or somebody else's bad day. Someday, that will be yours. Are you prepared for that? And I know we have our brotherhood assistants, and I'm very thankful for that. These are to help out on our larger needs, our large medical bills, house fires, large accidents, and that is a very important part. But I also think it's also of importance that we try to cover some of the smaller emergencies that come along. Or we can always, if we have this savings account, and there's another brother in the congregation who has this large emergency, maybe we're able to give more because of what we have set aside for times like this. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. I just want to read Proverbs 31 verses 10 through 12, and as most of us know, Proverbs 31 here is talking about the virtuous woman. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." This point here, I want to emphasize that the importance of communication, especially with a husband and wife. Men, do you talk to your wives about your finances? Or is that something that you only deal with? Here in these verses, it says that the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. I feel very strongly this evening that this is something that needs to be a joint effort in a home. I have found that there's a lot of help in discussing things with my wife. And I feel that the Bible says that fairly strongly here as well. Here in Proverbs, it teaches us that oftentimes women have a better inkling of whether what you're about to do is a good financial move or not. I understand that some women have less interest in finances than others. But a wife that feels comfortable with the decision her husband makes is going to go a long way in building a close relationship. So my point is to communicate. Talk about your money, your finances together. Talk about where you're going to spend it, where you should give, how much you should give, how much for the groceries, how much for the offering, what are the needs you will see coming in the future. You know, the husband may say, well, I see the need that I'm going to need a new van in 2 years, 5 years. And the wife says, well, I know whatever it may be. By the time my teenagers are getting married, she sees weddings coming down the line. And these are expenses that we know are coming, but we need to share them. We need to talk together about them. It builds and build communication. It's a very, very important part of working together in a marriage. It is very important that a husband and wife talk about these things. It helps it builds relationship between the couple, and is very important for your children's future as well. If your children grow up seeing mom and dad talk about these things together, know that they discuss these things, I believe it brings a lot of security, a lot of stability in a home. Third point is, should we go by the world standard of can I afford it? I already somewhat talked about this, but is what the world offers around us, is that the standard that we should go by? Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? There's a lot of push and drive for prosperity, for accumulating possessions in the world around us. And as I said before, we as Christians are not here on this earth to get for ourselves as much as we can. So our view of money and finances will be dramatically different than the world around us. And so in saying that, just because a bank or a credit card or a vehicle loan or a mortgage company says that you can afford it does not mean it is best for you or what Christ would have for your life. We're different. We're going to be separated. And what we spend our money and our time and our possessions on will be different than society around us. The fourth point I want to talk about is about brotherhood assistance. And it's a burden of mine, probably because I've been called to the deacon, of being a deacon. And I think sometimes when maybe we don't have as much teaching on this as we should, and I feel that maybe in some of our churches, I don't know if it's that way here or not, but some of our churches, and I know it's been that way in my own life in days gone by, that it's something we take for granted and don't realize what we have. And so I just want to put a plug in here tonight, is that we value our brotherhood assistance program. It's a blessing that we have, that we're able to be health care exempt. That's something that has changed more recently, where everybody is required to carry some type of health insurance, except if you have an exemption. That's been a federal law, if I'm not mistaken. And just so you realize some of the financial blessing of what our program has to offer, some of you may have seen this. It's just this here is called a Anabaptist Healthcare or Anabaptist Health Share. And this was just I would say it's basically a nonprofit it covers its own cost. And it's a sharing program among a lot of different Anabaptist churches. But what I find interesting as I read this is the numbers that they put out there. And the numbers that they give are very, in some ways, very similar to some of the numbers that maybe we would see coming across our conference-wide brotherhood assistance. Let me just pull that out again here. So for a family that is Social Security exempt, the cost comes to $425 per month. If it's an individual that is Social Security exempt, the cost is $175 per month. Just to give you a little bit of idea of what just a larger general sharing, and that is so that everybody's needs are covered, that covers up to, I think it starts at, it doesn't cover anything smaller than $1,000 and would go up to, I think, $500,000 or unlimited. There's two different options there. So it covers very similar to probably what our brotherhood assistance would cost. But for a family, the cost of something like that is $475 per month. And you may say, wow, that's a lot of money. And it is. But did you ever look at or get quotes on what insurance from a national insurance provider would cost for your family? More than likely, it's at least double, possibly even triple that cost per month is what majority of society around us is paying just to cover their health care, just number one, to meet the laws and also to cover their medical needs. And so we have a program this evening that I feel very good about, and I'm very glad that we have it. Not only because it's probably somewhat of a financial blessing to us, but also because it builds brotherhood and unity within a congregation. But along with that, we need to have people who are continually giving to that work and sharing, because it's not, we deacons don't have some bottomless pit that we can pull money out of. It comes from the brotherhood. It comes from brotherhoods like yours here this evening that make this thing work. And I know there's many, many people who give generously to that, and I thank you all for that. But it takes that those to continue to keep this working. Our local medical expenses continue to rise. The conference-wide needs continue to grow. The question is, can we afford it? Can we afford to continue that program? And I think the answer is yes, or the answer is we must. We must continue to have a brotherhood assistance. Are we as Christians and brothers in the church willing to step up and forgo some of our own wants and desires to give more to help our brother? As time goes on, our incomes continue to rise. Our cost of living continues to go up. And we call that inflation. But is our giving going up with that as well? Expenses are higher. Medical expenses continue to go up. It's just a continual discussion point, even in the whole political world, of the rising cost in health care. The doctor bills are bigger than ever. And our giving is going to have to continue to go up with that. There are blessings from God for those who give. Never forget, there will be, the Lord will reward us. Maybe not here on this earth, maybe not in financial ways, but there is blessings stored up in heaven for those who give and give generously. I feel this evening we don't have a choice. We must afford the cost of brotherhood assistance. A brotherhood is a biblical command, and it's very valuable. Something that we so often maybe take for granted, but we need to continue to be grateful and to realize the value we have there. Can we afford to give? It's going to take each and everyone here this evening to help if we want these things to continue. Another element that I hadn't talked much about is our Christian day schools. Something that takes a lot of money to run. We have large budgets every year for our Christian day schools. Can we afford the Christian day school? The question I ask is, what is the alternative? I think it's the same way here in Missouri and back in Pennsylvania. I pay my property taxes, therefore I can send my children to public school for free. Can I afford to send my children to public school this evening? Can I afford that? And the answer is no. So therefore we must afford our Christian day schools. Something I, as a younger generation, we grew up with the public schools. I mean the Christian day schools, not going to public school. We don't always hear about what our grandfathers went through in order to have this freedom. They went through a lot to have it. And something that we take for granted, but we need to continue to put our talents behind this work. Because for me as one, does not want to go back to sending our children to a public school. And finally, if we do not have willing givers, the doors of our school will close. And we will also go back to getting medical insurance. Can we afford that? No, we cannot. So this evening, as we looked as God wants us to be stewards of all he gives to us, we are blessed above many. What better investment is there than putting our time, energy, and money into his kingdom? And someday when we meet Jesus in glory, will he say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." A question in closing this evening. Are you being a wise investor?